Did God create people so wicked and perverse? No, God created them good and in His own image. That is, in true righteousness and holiness, so that they might truly know God, their Creator, love Him with all their heart, and live with God in eternal happiness to praise and glorify Him. This, perhaps in our day, seems so hard to believe, doesn't it? We look around at a world such as this where horrors are being taught in schools. We used to think that evolution was the end of the world, and now in many cases you do not have to be told as a parent if your child expresses a gender preference apart from their anatomy. We live in a world such as this where parents often feel the need to go into the public restroom, not to help their child, but to protect their child from who might be in there. We look around and we see the sexual revolution more rampant than ever, and it's actually got a new name now. It's the present-day norm. Wars, rumors of wars without and within our country. We see what happened just a few hours ago with Iran and Israel. Ukraine, Russia, cartels, illegal immigration, Bowling Green's own crime rate. Drugs are more accessible, more dangerous than ever before. People are dying every day from things like fentanyl. It's hard to look around and to remember that this was once all good. And it's even harder to look around and to remember with a biblical worldview that God created man good. He created man in His likeness. He created man to be fruitful and to multiply, to rule over the beasts of the field and the fish of the sea, to till the ground and to work. And not only did God see what He had made as He looked over all creation and saw that it was good, but when He created man, He looked again and He saw it was very good. But beyond being given dominion over the earth to subdue it and to fill it, being made in the image of God meant that man was good and righteous and holy. We were without sin, without spot or blemish. We were meant to enjoy pure and holy fellowship with each other and a holy God. And this kind of talk is foreign to us now, to imagine even for a second that man was good, but we were. And the Heidelberg Catechism highlights this point and this question of why man was created this way. Number one, man was made in true righteousness and holiness so that man might truly know God, his Creator. Something we should note there is that God made us with the capacity to think and to reason and to understand. He gave us the capacity to know Him, to recognize Him as our Lord, as the sovereign over all things, to know Him, as they phrase it, our Creator. Man was made to know personally and with confidence who God is, what He is like, and then in turn of that truth to see who we are in light of that. As Adam and Eve could see how in their humanity they bore the image of God, they could then reflect and realize something about who God is. Man was made as a reflection of Him so that we might better understand and know Him. Number two, man was made in righteousness and holiness so that man may love God with all his heart. I know you hear it stressed here from this pulpit. Knowledge isn't the end. Head knowledge doesn't help anybody staying in between your ears. Knowing doctrine isn't the end, and it's not enough to simply know about God. A true knowledge of God, your Creator from point one, has an effect. It shatters your thinking. It evokes love and devotion and an intimate relationship. When you truly know God, you see Him for who He truly is, the most valuable person in the universe, all-satisfying, worthy of all your praise, the fountain of life through which life flows. We saw last time that the standard of God's law is that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Jesus said that if you keep that and you keep the other commandment to love your neighbor as yourself, that the whole law and the prophets hang on that. And we forget that we were made with the capacity and intention to do that. Number three, man was made in righteousness and holiness so that man might live with Him in eternal happiness. I've mentioned this in passing, but we were created for fellowship with God. We were created that we might dwell with God. And That is the chief goal of our lives. That's what we're working for and living by faith for, is that we might dwell with God. That's why we rejoice when the brother or sister in Christ dies, is because we know they're in full communion with the Lord, awaiting their bodies, but in eternal happiness in the presence of their Savior. This is what we long for. And look at those last two words, eternal happiness. You can't emphasize that enough. We have a glimpse of that now as He dwells in us, but to be with Him, that's bliss. And all these work toward this end, to praise and glorify Him. And this is stated in another way, in another confession that we know and love. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Every aspect of man, from physical to immaterial, was created by God to the end that we would praise and glorify Him. With our minds, our hearts, our hands, whatever we do, whether we eat or we drink, we do it all for the glory of God. It's easy to forget this in a fallen world, that man was once good and righteous and holy. It's easy to open up your Bibles and to see your sin in light of God's word and to become discouraged. But we need not be discouraged this morning. For before the very first man had sinned, Adam himself, our Lord, had chosen us in Christ that we too would be holy and blameless before Him. You see, this morning you are, like Adam, positionally holy and blameless. But how much more than that, you are counted as holy and blameless as Christ Himself.